So George Osborne, the Chancellor, has done a U-turn. Tax credit deductions are off. But this is very, very interesting for Sinn Féin now. Because do you remember that pledge that Sinn Féin made that absolutely no one would be affected by welfare reform? They promised no present or future claimants would be affected by welfare reform whatsoever. And then, when they had to change that policy, what did they say? They said, look, tax credits has completely changed the landscape. So does that mean, now that tax credits are off the agenda, that the Sinn Féin promise to its electorate is back on? We've been in touch with Sinn Féin to see if they can come on the programme this morning and reassure people that their pledge is back on, their solemn promise to their voters is back on, but Sinn Féin are finding it very difficult to come on to the programme today. What we thought we would do is just remind people. So first of all, there's an absolute promise from Sinn Féin, or at least there was, that no present or future claimants would be affected by welfare reform. And then when they said they had to change that, had to change it because of tax credits, let me just remind you how they explained it.
No, we haven't at all. What happened was that there was a very substantial sea change in terms of the whole benefits and tax credit issue in July when the Chancellor made a statement. We were then presented with a situation where there was a vast new number of people who were going to suffer as a consequence of British government policies. Over 100,000 families across the north were going to be out of pocket as a consequence of that. We're then faced with a situation where we either stick to the agreement that we had in Stormont House and abandon all of those people who suffer as a consequence of tax credit cuts, or to try and secure more money into a pot and try and spread that across the huge number of people then that who are going to suffer as a consequence of the decision, both on welfare and on tax credit.
And the Sinn Féin Minister, John O'Dowd, he also explained to everybody that tax credits was the reason for the welfare reform solemn promise from Sinn Féin having to go away. Well, it's not going away anymore. Let's remind ourselves what John O'Dowd said.
Let's just remind ourselves, your boast in Sinn Féin right up until September this year was that no claimant, present or future, would lose out. Now, can you still say that?
No, we can't.
You can't say
that.
So you've rolled over on that.
No, we can't say it because of this very important reason. George Osborne stood in Westminster on the 8th of July and changed the goalposts. So 100,000 families were brought into the equation who were losing out because of family tax credits and works tax credit cuts. And we refused to walk away and leave them behind.
So that was Mark Rutherford, obviously, on The View last week, probing Mr O'Dowd. So Sinn Féin have made it very, very clear that the only reason they couldn't keep their solemn promise over welfare reform was because of tax credits. They said that the goalposts had changed. Well, guess what? The goalposts are back exactly where they were when Sinn Féin made that promise. So the big question to Sinn Féin this morning, as a big, significant party in this country, are you going to keep your promise to your electorate? No present or future claimants will be affected by welfare reform. Or is there another reason now beyond tax credits? Let's just try to get an understanding, shall we, of what has actually happened yesterday from the Chancellor. By the way, if you want to pick up the phone today, 03030 80 55 55, on the text 81771 and the email nolan@bbc.co.uk. BBC's economics and business editor John Campbell with us this morning. Big day yesterday, John.
Yeah, the big surprise was on tax credits, because clearly the Chancellor had faced massive pressure over his decision to cut tax credits. You know, the Sun newspaper very significantly came out against him and said it was a bad idea. So his original plan, as laid out in July, was he was going to cut tax credits and knock about £4.5 billion off the welfare bill. After the big pushback, then yesterday said, no, complete U-turn, I'm not going to do any of that. The implication for Northern Ireland is very big, actually, because under his original plan, about 120,000 households, that's one in six households who claim tax credits, would lose out. And on average, each of those households was going to lose about £1,000 a year. So a big impact on households and a big impact on the economy as a whole. Now that has gone away, so sigh of relief for those households. But the other issue, as you rightly say, is around what was agreed in the Fresh Start document, because there was £240 million of mitigation for tax credits, and then we got up to 585 million. The rest was in welfare mitigation. So now there's a pot of money which had tax credits written on it, but that has now gone away. So what are they going to use this £240 million for?
Well, it's a windfall for Stormont, isn't it? It's £240 million for Stormont, and I guess some commentators looking at this might think, to go back to what was said at the top of the show this morning, well, look, if Sinn Féin gave that promise to their electorate and now tax credits is gone, so to a certain extent the reason for breaking their promise has gone, so they're back to their promise now, maybe they'll have to insist that the whole £240 million goes against any welfare reform change.
Well, that's clearly up for discussion now, because in some ways it's not quite a windfall, because it's money that Stormont had to pull out of other budgets. So it's money that they now have to decide how they're going to spend it. Arlene Foster, the finance minister, has given a number of interviews today when she's been saying, well, let's not just say it's for welfare mitigation. There could be other ways we could spend that money. And I think it's worth remembering what Sinn Féin had initially signed up to in the Stormont House Agreement on welfare mitigation, where there was a pot of about £560 million which would be used to mitigate the impact of welfare, I think, over 6 years. And then under Stormont House, there was £585 million, which was supposed to mitigate everything, including tax credits, over 4 years. So you could conceivably say, if you put it all onto welfare mitigation, then it's a slightly better deal for welfare than you had under Stormont House, now that the tax credits thing has gone away. But of course, as we remember, Stormont House collapsed because Sinn Féin said it didn't offer enough protection. And in fact, there was an interview that Martin McGuinness gave around the time when Sinn Féin walked away from Stormont House to say, actually, the mitigation was probably about £200 million short. So on the basis of what Martin McGuinness said some time ago, they would actually need closer to £750 million to fully mitigate the impact of welfare reforms, not the £585 million which is on offer now.
Money's still going to be tight at Stormont, we know that. Money for day-to-day spending by Stormont departments, that's going to fall by 5.3%, John, in real terms, by 2020.
It is. So there's a lot of headlines around today saying end of austerity, austerity's over. Well, not quite, because Stormont's day-to-day spending part is going to be falling over the next 4 or 5 years. And there are all these kind of demands on the Stormont budget. So, you know, Stormont is going to do their welfare mitigation in some way, shape or form, which is a big cost. Cutting corporation tax is a cost. The health minister says he wants to be spending £1 billion more on health by the end of the next assembly. And all that is taking place in an environment where Stormont knows that the pot of money is actually falling. And Arlene Foster, again, has been talking about tough choices that have to be made, particularly if Stormont wants to continue protecting health and education spending, which is by far the bulk of what Stormont spends. So there's a budget now has to be agreed at Stormont. A paper will have to be brought to the Assembly probably before Christmas, and then we'll see a draft budget by January.
OK, John, thank you very much indeed. Morning to you, 0330 80 55 55. Simple question for you this morning. Complex answers, depending on which way you swing in this. Where should that £240 million go? Do you think the vast majority of it, for example, should go to the health service? We've heard on this programme of the ever-worsening waiting lists in the health service. Is that where you think the vast bulk of the money should go? Should it go to welfare reform, to mitigating against welfare reform? So those people who are on benefits, who are having their benefits cut, should it actually go against that? We've heard this week of the pressure on care homes. Should it go to something like that? Where should the money go? What do you reckon? 0330 80 55 55. I've been speaking to the Ulster Unionist Party leader this morning, Mike Nesbitt, and I asked him what happens next after the tax credit cuts are reversed.
That's a very good question, Stephen, because the so-called fresh start is, what, a week old, and it's already unravelling on a number of fronts, and the latest one is the big one. £240 million set aside to mitigate the effect of the tax credits, and now we discovered that that 240 is not needed because there aren't going to be changes to tax credits.
That's good news. That means we've got an extra £240 million. Great news for the executive.
If they can agree what to do with it, and clearly they've already started to disagree. And the question I would have thought you wanted to be asking, Stephen, is why was this fresh start deal agreed last week when everybody knew that the Chancellor was making a statement on the 25th? Could it possibly be because Peter Robinson needed a clear run at his annual conference? Everybody from months ago was talking about the unknowns of the 25th of November and the Chancellor's Autumn Statement, and yet Sinn Féin and the DUP pressed ahead with a package including £240 million to mitigate something that no longer needs mitigated.
Well, that's a pretty serious accusation you're making against Peter Robinson. Have you any evidence that
It, Stephen. Why do the deal? Robinson said it would take 4 to 6 weeks. It took 10 to 12 weeks. Everybody knew the 25th of this month was a critical day because the Chancellor was going to be on his hind legs in the House of Commons making statements, and everybody thought that he would bring in those tax credit reforms that he wanted by the back door or through some sort of delay. And why didn't we wait to see what we had to do to mitigate what the issue really was?
But
there is only one credible explanation, and that is that Martin McGuinness agreed with his chum that he'd give him a clear run on Saturday at Le Mans to stand down as leader of the DUP.
Well, I'm sure that's totally denied. You're quite good in your new role as the negative opposition, but you're trying to spin this country having another £240 million of extra money as a bad thing. It's a great thing, is it not?
It is a good thing. But why did they put it in that package? And what are they going to do with it, Stephen? And are Sinn Féin on board or are they not on board on corporation tax? Or are they split? Because in the so-called Fresh Start document, there is an agreement that corporation tax in Northern Ireland will go to a rate of 12.5% the 1st of April 2018. And yet, the Sinn Féin councillor who leads Sinn Féin at Belfast City Council has made statements which suggest he will not support it happening anytime soon. So there's another split already.
Well, a councillor doesn't make policy, as you know, and this programme has been in touch with Sinn Féin about that question, and Sinn Féin referred us to the deal, the Fresh Start deal.
If an Ulster Unionist councillor says something that you suspect is discordant, you're not a bit slow to get on the phone to me, Stephen. You have Jim McVeigh, who I would consider to be a pretty senior elected official of Sinn Féin, making statements which, on the face of it at least, are pretty much diametrically opposite to the statement that's in that Fresh Start document about corporation tax. So it's a valid question. And there are many valid questions about this document. Have you looked at the financial reform paragraphs?
Of course I haven't.
Well, in terms of revenue-raising measures, there's a very, very interesting statement that I do not understand the implications of. It says if cost reductions cannot be achieved quickly enough, or if there is a decision to maintain enhanced public services, Sinn Féin, the DUP, will look at additional revenue-raising measures. What are enhanced public services? And when and how and who might make a decision whether or not to maintain them?
Well, they're keeping their options open. Any government does that, doesn't it?
What does it mean? Even wearing a journalist hat, I'm looking at that and saying, what does that mean if there is a decision to maintain enhanced public services? Why would there be a decision not to maintain our current public services? And what does enhanced mean? Is it super parity? What is it? I don't know.
You don't really
think. I would like to know.
You don't really think this deal is unravelling, do you?
I do. I do, Stephen, because you've got this apparent dispute within Sinn Féin over when we bring in a lower rate of corporation tax. And you have a deal which put nearly £600 million into a pot of money. You say, we need that because this, that and the other. And it turns out the other doesn't even exist. And what are they going to do with the £240 million? Are they going to put it into health? Are they going to use it for the people you have on your show who talk about waiting not just a year, but nearly 2 years on a health service waiting list for a procedure? Is that where it's going to go? If it is, I could well see the Ulster Unionist Party supporting it. But where is it going? And is there an agreement between the two parties, this so-called Fresh Start?
You're the leader of your party. Where do you want it to go? Where should the £240 million be spent?
I've just told you.
No, you haven't. You said you might support it. So you think all of the £240 million should go to the health service, do you?
I think there is certainly an argument for £240 million going to health.
But there's an argument to give it to roads, and there's an argument to give it elsewhere. Where would you put all of the money?
I'm not going to, Stephen. There's £240 million. I am looking to the DUP and Sinn Féin to say what they're going to do with it. Personally, I would put the vast majority of it to tackling the waiting lists in the health service, which are as bad as they have been for 15 years. Those are the people who are suffering unnecessarily and for unnecessarily long periods of time.
Do you not feel...
There are competing interests, of course.
Do you not feel
but
irrelevant...
The health service is the biggest issue. It is certainly the one that the Ulster Unionist representatives have brought to them by the people in their constituency offices and at Stormont, above and beyond street lights or grass verges or any other of the major issues we face. The big one is the health service.
Do you not feel irrelevant this morning because you're powerless, because you walked away? You could have been having a role in where this $240 million was used if you hadn't walked out.
I would feel irrelevant if I was sitting here looking at my phone waiting for somebody like Stephen Nolan to phone me. But I don't have to, because you're on the phone to me asking me my opinion. So I am relevant.
But would you not rather be in there helping to decide where the money is going, making key decisions?
Stephen, for the last number of years, we have had a coalition of five parties. And it is much more honest to say it is actually a coalition of the DUP and Sinn Féin. So I feel the Ulster Unionists are actually in a much more honest position today than we were previously when we were in trying to do our best, but actually aware that at the end of the day, the big two would make the decisions. And so it has proven. We started with Haas, then we had Stormont House, and now we have this so-called Stormont Agreement. And finally, there's a bit of honesty about it insofar as it is an agreement between two parties, not three, not four, not five. So I think we're in a better position. Of course we'd like to be at the heart of government. When I took us out of the executive, that was the first day in the history of the Ulster Unionist Party when there's been a devolved government at Stormont and we have not been part of it. So it was a huge move. But all our lords and elected representatives and then our ruling executive unanimously backed my recommendation that we come out. And what we're looking forward to doing early in the new year is publishing our alternative programme for government, giving people a vision that says this isn't as good as it gets, and there is better, and we know how to deliver it. A truly peaceful society with stable government and a focus on prosperity, not just financial prosperity, but well-being
okay.
for our people. And you look at that document again, Stephen, mental health and well-being is not in it, and it should be. And so some of that $240 million should go on mental health and well-being within the health service.
OK. Mike Nesbitt, thank you very much indeed. So maybe now you're getting an understanding of what is going to unfold here over the coming days and weeks in Northern Ireland. There's now going to be a political fight over where this $240 million that they thought they didn't have, now they do have. Where is it going to go? And where do you, the people of Northern Ireland, want it to go? And then, running alongside that, Sinn Féin's pledge that they will protect people from welfare reform. And they started saying, well, we can't protect people as much as we thought we could because of tax credits. Now that tax credits is gone, are they back to their original promise or not? Tony in Lagmore. Morning, Tony.
Morning, Stephen. Do you remember when this agreement was sort of made? Do you remember...
When I say tax credit's gone, it's obvious, by the way. I mean tax credit cuts are gone, right?
Said, oh, no, they were going to come in. And I said to you, no, Stephen, look at all the evidence. It may not come in. And you actually argued with me, no, they'll be coming in. Do you want to wipe the egg off your face now?
I don't remember saying that.
Oh, you said it. Listen back to your own programmes.
So where do you reckon this money should go now, this 240 million quid? You know, I don't know what the Duppers are going to do, right? So the Duppers might want the vast majority of it to go to health. I don't know. Sinn Féin, I don't know. They might want the vast majority of it to go to welfare reform. You heard Mike Nesbitt there saying some of it should go to mental health. There are lots and lots of very, very valid areas where the money should go. But who's going to divvy it up and how's it going to be divvied up?
Well, number one, the first deal that they made, they actually done a worse deal, the deal. So why don't they bring it back to the first deal that they've done, right? And any money spare, then should go into health service.
Well, that's interesting to go back. So to go back to the first deal that they did. It's interesting.
Yeah,
way back there.
Deal.
So Fresh Start would be gone. That would be the deal they rejected.
Yeah, but the point was it was a better deal than the deal that's done now.
Sinn Féin walked away from that deal, by the way, saying there wasn't enough money in it to protect people from welfare reform.
You know, so they have egg on their face as well. You know, but the whole evidence there, but looking at the whole British system and the way the Lords had turned that down, it was obvious even when they were in talks that that wasn't going to come in properly. You know, there will be other ways. You'll hit it now. You'll see the likes of housing benefits will be hit. You know, and other ways to get it, and other ways to get, instead of just trying to get the money off the ones who's not paying their taxes, like the big businesses. And that should cover most of it.
Yeah, but there's a big, there are massive political implications here of what George Osborne has done, because it does take us back to the pledge that Sinn Féin had initially made. Let me just remind you what they said. For example, Gerry Adams, have a listen to this.
We're very, very clear. No one will have any benefit reduced which is under the authority of the Assembly here or of the Executive. And that was our key point on this issue.
So that was the solemn pledge last January. Only thing in between, tax credit cuts. Alban McGuinness from the SDLP, good morning to you.
Good, Stephen.
Where are we at then?
Well, first of all, let's put it into context. George Osborne hasn't had a road to Damascus conversion. He's been forced into this situation, and he is still intent, cutting the tripe out of the welfare system. And in fact, he regarded tax credits as part of that welfare system. Now, the consensus opinion at Westminster last night was, amongst the experts, and the MPs, people like Frank Beales, they were saying that the Chancellor has only delayed his policy or disguised his plan, that there are other nasty things in the pipeline. So all this talk about a windfall, yes, it creates good headlines. Yes, there may be some element of truth in that. But fundamentally, we have handed over our welfare powers to Westminster, courtesy, of course, of Sinn Féin and the DUP, and we have no control over that. And the British at any time, and Osborne can at any time, impose further welfare cuts, and indeed at this moment in time,
you've just forgotten to say it's the best. You've just forgotten to say it's the best welfare deal in the whole of the UK. When you have your little pops at Sinn Féin and the DUP, you forget to say the best welfare deal in the whole of the UK. That's what they've achieved,
which in fact we made a huge contribution to achieving, because without the points that we had made and the input that we put, that there would have been no mitigation features at all. And it is a good deal with regard to those mitigating features, but we must retain some perspective on this, and we must look at what is happening at Westminster at the moment. You've got the Welfare and Work Bill going through. That has not yet been finalised, but two of the major elements in that are, first of all, a welfare freeze, and secondly, and that's all welfare benefits will be frozen. And secondly, that there will be a welfare cap down to as low as 20,000, perhaps lower than 20,000. It depends really on the Chancellor.
Presumably, Alban, you don't agree with Mike Nesbitt's assessment this morning on this programme that Fresh Start is unravelling.
I don't think it's unravelling, because it's. I think Sinn Féin and the DUP are bound together. You had that demonstration in the Assembly the other day of the standing ovation for Peter Robinson, the incredible scene of Sinn Féin members standing up and clapping Peter Robinson, DUP doing the same. They are bound together because they're facing an election which they know will be a difficult election for both of those parties, because essentially, despite the fact that they've dominated politics over the past 8 years, they've delivered nothing of any real significance. So they have to hang together or hang separately, in the sense that the electorate could take them apart, and therefore they have to stick together at least up until the election.
Okay, Alban McGuinness, thank you. Patrick in Derry. Morning, Patrick.
Stephen, I want to keep us lighthearted. I was just laughing this morning. My birthday this morning, when I heard you say
happy birthday.
Ah, I'm 78 today.
Happy birthday.
Can you sing?
I'll not be singing to you.
Oh, for goodness sake. Anyway, a few weeks ago, I said to you, the DUP, And Sinn Féin only come on your show when they think they have a case. And you said to me, you're wrong there, Patrick. They always come on my show. Now, I know SDLP always comes on your show. I know the unions come on the show. They've been tackled about the grass. They've been tackled about everything. The other two always dodge the issue when you have them by the short and curly, as they say. And they won't come on.
Well, actually, the DUP, as far as I know, the DUP are trying to get someone on.
Well, you see, look at the number of members.
Looks like it's a Shinner's not coming on this morning.
Yeah, but look at the number of members.
In fact, Sinn Féin have said they're not coming on.
And they always struggle. You see, my point is, them two people come on again, and you had a pop at the unionists, and you had and as the man says, you did phone them up and ask them to come on. Then your man comes on, you have a pop at him. See, the ones you want to have the pop at are there. But the reason I went on was because, you see, when I came off your show last time saying that, and you said to me, they always come on your show, people do listen, believe it or not, to us people, and they'll say, Pat, no one tore you apart today. Well, I'm now saying to no one, I was right. The DUP and Sinn Féin will pick their time when they come on your show.
The DUP are trying to get us somewhere. The DUP are trying to get us Ireland, as far as I know.
Got? Come on. How many DUP ministers have they got that you saying to me they'll try and get you somebody? You know what they're all doing? They're having their raffle and they're going to toss their name up and see which is going to go on and meet them. And that's the way it's going to be.
Patrick, thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. I can't possibly comment.